Please pray with me. Holy God, reveal yourself to us once again as we hear your word. By the power of your Holy Spirit, inspire us to follow where you lead, and to answer your call. Amen. Our epistle reading this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Listen for the word of the Lord. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brothers Sothenthius, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind. Just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any gifts as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He also strengthened you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into partnership of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The gospel lesson is in Matthew 21, 6 to 10. Let's read it. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put their cloths on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloths on the road. The others cut branches from the tree and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one that comes in front in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" This is the word of the Lord. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. I really appreciate this opportunity. I've been looking forward since Bruce and Don told me about this, and this is a great time for me to be here and just to visit your city and your surrounding areas. It's a beautiful thing. It's nothing compared to what we have over there, and it's just fantastic. I was telling my kids that I'm bringing a lot of pictures and a lot of video and a lot of history, and I'm probably bringing pneumonia as well, because I was 80 degrees the other day, and it feels like 30 degrees for me, and it was a shock, right? It's like, what is this? And then something began falling from the sky. I think you call it a snow. We have never seen that in Texas, right? So it was like, okay, this is old news for me. But I'm David Rodriguez. I'm executive director of Faith Ministry, a ministry that is in the area of McAllen and in front of Reynosa, Mexico. And we do a lot of activities for the community. We run 11 different programs that they are aimed to share the love of God with people that have never seen the love of God in their lives. You can go to them and you can tell them that God loves them, but they have never seen the love of God in their lives, so it's difficult for them to cross. So when your team and your church shows up and build a house like the one that they were referring to, you're not just only building a house, you're showing them the love of God to people that desperately need to see that. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here and to be reading the Bible with you and to be speaking a little bit about my testimony and how I came involved with the ministry there, because this ministry has been around for 31 years, building basic needs for the community. But it was not always like that for me. I was born and raised in Monterrey, Mexico. That's my hometown, 3 hours away from the border. And my life was centered because I was working for the federal government there. Once you work for the federal government in Mexico, your life is set. You don't need to worry too much. You have a contract and you plan your life for all of that. But my parents had been involved in the ministry for over 55 years, and something was not clicking right. Something was not good inside me saying I'm going to give my life to work for the government. I wanted to do something else. I wanted to drop my work, and I was planning to work for the Lord. And me and my wife had no intention of moving away or doing anything else. I just wanted to be working for the Lord at my father's ministry. And we began praying. My son, my oldest, was 1 year old. And we began praying. We say, well, let's pray. Let's pray together because we want something happening in our lives. This is not right. And let me tell you something that you probably already know. Be careful while you pray. Because God is listening. And I was not aware of that. I was just praying, saying, Lord, use my life. I want to do something with this. But in my own terms and in my own ways. And I was not as specific. So when you pray, try to be specific. Because I never say to the Lord, use my life because I want to stay here and I want to work with my dad. I want to work with the ministry that I'm involved with. And I want to stay here. And God opened a door for me in McAllen, Texas. And I was in Monterey, Mexico. And things were a little complicated. And I was not opening my eyes to something like that. I didn't want to move and I didn't want to leave my town, and I begin praying again, say, Lord, I really need something else in my life. I really don't think that this is for me. And I don't know about you, but I'm an expert in excuses. I have a big sack, and I come out with the best excuses that I can come up. If you ever need an excuse, talk to me. I can probably share some of my excuses with you if you don't have good ones. But I have the best excuses that I could come up with because I told the Lord, well, I'm not an American citizen. I cannot leave and work in the United States. So, done deal, I'm going to stay here. I didn't know that there were such of working visas, right? That they can get one for me and that in a legal way they can bring me in the country and they can do something for me. And I learned that there's nothing impossible for the Lord. There's nothing impossible for Him, and that He was going to prepare a way for me. Well, that excuse didn't work. So I come up with another excuse. It's like, I've never lived in the United States. My English is not very good. So, done deal. I'm going to stay here. And then I remember Psalms 37:3. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in yourself and your own abilities. Trust in the Lord and practice your English. I told my boss at my government job that I was going to quit my job and I was just going to go away and I was just going to do something else. And he told me, he asked me if I was aware that by signing that document of resignation, he was not going to be able to hire me back in 8 years. That was the rule. You sign it, you're gone. Even if I want to hire you back, I'm not going to be able to hire you back there. And he asked me this specific question I still remember. What if that Jesus thing you're going to do doesn't work? What are you going to do? Well, I begin praying again. Lord, I was just kidding, right? I was not ready to jump in. I was not ready to do all of this. I was not ready. One thing is to have faith, right? And to talk about faith. One thing is totally different, to step in faith and do it the way God is asking you to do it. My last resource was my dad, minister for 50-some years, and I told him, you remember that we were praying about this? Well, there's an opportunity, but I need to bring my wife and my kid, their only grandson. And then we had issues getting Luis, or oldest, we try for 8 years and we finally find our son, and we need to move away. And I honestly thought that my dad was going to tell me, forget about it, stay here, this is your home. But with tears in his eyes, he looked at me and he said, if the Lord wants you to do something, there's no better way to give up your life than working for the Lord. So he kicked me in the head because I say 3 times no to this, and he sent me away. He's like, you're going to be gone and you're going to be working for Faith Ministry. And that's the way I begin working with this organization. I knew exactly at that time when he kicked me away that I didn't even apply for the organization, and he was already sending me in. It's like, I am in troubles. I don't know what I'm going to do from here. But see, the relationship that I have with the Lord, it was a different relationship. It was under the umbrella of my parents, and I was very informed of what Jesus can do for me. I was an expert in knowing all of that. I was not too serious about it. I just wanted things for myself. Sometimes we become experts and we know that what he is for us, and we want him to be our healer, he's our savior, he's our redeemer, and he's our helper, and he is the answer. And those are the things that we always want from the Lord. We get to know the Lord in such a way that we get all those things. We are familiarize ourselves with those actions. And that brings me to the part of the Bible that we were reading and experiencing this morning. At the Christian community, we celebrate the Jesus' triumphal entrance into Jerusalem. But if you read carefully there, the city was rocked. The city was in turmoil. The city was asking a very important question. And you read it at the end. They were asking, who is this? Who is this that is coming into our city? Who is this that is coming into this place? And many of us has been asking that question. Many of us, we already know who the Lord is, but they didn't know and they were missing something. And we need to ask, it's a very serious question, and we need to go to the Bible and to ask the answer for that question. We need to answer that question. Who is the Lord? So if we have different opinions, if we ask John the prophet, and he will tell you in John 1:29 that he's the Lamb of God, which is taking away the sin of the world. What a beautiful way it is to know the Lord in such a capacity, if we read it like that. But you ask the Pharisees, they will tell you that he was a carpenter. If you ask the Samaritan woman, she will tell you that he was a Jew. If you ask the wise man from the east, they will say that he's the king of the Jews. But if we really want to know who the Lord is, we go to the scripture that gives testimony about him. And then as Isaiah 9:6 reads, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. What a beautiful way is to get that concept and get to know the Lord in that very specific way. To answer that question is, I want to know the Lord not only for what he can do for me, but what he is to me. It's difficult to know the Lord in such a capacity. But if we just concentrate on one little word that is there, if we just concentrate on how wonderful he is, our vision will be transformed, our priorities will change, and our lives will be touched. He was wonderful in his birth because he left everything for you and for me to be on this earth. He was wonderful in his ministry, because he went everywhere and he began helping people in their basic needs and everything that they needed. He was wonderful in his death, because innocent of anything, he opened his arms and died for you and for me. And he's going to be wonderful, and he was wonderful in his resurrection, because he gave us eternal life. It's hard to know him in that way, and the people of Jerusalem were missing something very special of that. Many Christians have asked that question, and many of us, we have that important and glorious interpretation of who he is really in our lives. But if we have answered that first question, we cannot stay in that question. We need to go forward. We need to move forward. We need to do something else. And now that we know who he is, we need to ask a second question. What do you want me to do? Now that I know who you are, what is next for me as a Christian? What do you want me to do? And if you remember, who have stand in front of the Lord, in front of God, and ask that difficult question that I was not ready to ask that question. And if you read, we can find people like Noah. What do you want me to do, Lord? Oh, just build me an ark. Perfect. Show me where is the nearest Home Depot, right, that I can buy all the materials. Let me Google it. How in the world I'm going to build an ark? Because I have no idea, right? And he probably asked the wrong question, right? It's just build me an ark. It's not easy to do. But that's what God was asking Noah to do. And he needed to put everything that he had in that task. So he can put his talents and his time and his efforts in getting people salvation because of what was coming. Who else has asked that question? Paul. Change your life. Lord, what do you want me to do? Change everything. Because you're going in the wrong direction. You need to change everything. After that conversation, he was getting involved in using his talent and working for the Lord. He went in a different direction, and it was not easy for him. The second question is very hard to ask because it means that you're ready to give your life to the Lord and let the Lord guide your life. It is to surround your will to him, and that is not easy to do. It's to tell him, I want to know you, but I want to be a useful instrument in your hands. But if you really think about all this great men in the Bible, you're going to find something very common about all of them. You know what that is? That all of them that you read in the Bible, they already did their jobs. They're done. They already did their job. And now I have news for you. Now it's up to you. And now it's up to me to keep on doing it, to keep asking that question, Lord, what do you want me to do? And now it's very difficult to do that. It's not easy. God may ask us to do something that we are not prepared. God may ask you something that you don't know what to do and how to do it. God may say, you really want to know what you need to do. God may ask you to forgive. I don't know how to do that. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know that when I entered the church, they didn't say hi to me. And I cannot forgive that. You don't know what they have done to me that I'm not able to forgive the ones that have offended me. But if you think of the wonderful Lord that forgive me with everything that I am, with everything that I do, and he comes to me and says, I forgive you, you will find the courage to forgive somebody else. Maybe the Lord is asking you to participate in church activities. Oh boy, that is hard because I don't have the time, and you bring those excuses that we were talking about. God wants you to participate. He's calling your name to participate in some activities in church and say, well, I don't have the time. But if you think of the wonderful Lord that left everything for you and for me, you will find the time to participate in church activities and missions and things like that. Maybe the Lord is asking you to love. And that is a tough one. Maybe God wants you to love somebody else, to love your neighbors, to love your friends, to love the ones that you don't know how to love. And say, David, you don't understand. The ones that you're asking me to love, they root for the wrong football team. I don't even like them. How do you ask me to love them? I'm not asking for anything. God is asking you to love each other, no matter what. God didn't say just love them if they think like you. God didn't say just love them if they vote like you, or they go for the same soccer team like you, or they live in your same area, or they go to your same church, or they just love them if. God just says, let's just love each other. And that's what God is asking us to do, to love. And that is hard. But if you remember the wonderful Lord that loved us the way we are, and you look at the mirror and say, I don't know how God loves me, but he loves me with eternal love, you will find the courage to love somebody else and to love each other. This is something that God wants us to do and to become that useful instrument and to give that testimony. I love this illustration, and you probably have heard this illustration before, but I love it because it says that there was a dusty violin and they were auctioning that violin. And nobody was giving much of that violin, $2, $3 here, and the auctioneer say $5 and $10, and nobody wants to do that. Somebody from the back came in, tuned it up, and begin playing that violin. It sounded so good. It sounded like a choir of angels. It sounded beautiful. And after that, everyone began betting on that. I give a $500. I give $1,000. I give $2,000. And somebody say, "Whoa, wait a second. What happened? I should have got it when it was $5. What happened here? What was the change?" Well, the only change is that instrument was played by the hands of the master, and it sounded really good. And all I'm saying here, if you let the Lord play your life, if you let the Lord use your life, you are going to sound like a choir of angels, because the master is going to be playing your life. He's going to be working in your life. What we need to do is to surrender and to say, Lord, I know who you are, and now I need to know, what do you want me to do? May God bless you, and may you be a useful instrument in the hands of the Lord. God bless you. Thank you so much.